And the thing I like about Good Times is that here was a family that faced difficult situations. And it seems like they were always in a crisis. And, you know, when I think about the words of the song, and that's where I get the title of my message today, you know, it says, good times anytime you need a payment. Good times anytime you need a friend. Good times anytime you're out from under, not getting hassled, not getting hustled. Notice what it says. Keeping your head above water. Making a way when you can. Temporary layoffs, good time. Easy credit rip-offs, good time. Scratching and surviving, good times. Hanging and jiving, good time. Ain't we lucky we got it, good time.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Keeping Your Head Above Water. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Keeping Your Head Above Water.
This morning, we're going to be continuing in the Psalms, and we're going to look at the 61st Psalm, Psalm 61. Psalm 61. And in Psalm 61, the psalmist says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wing, Selah. For thou, O Lord, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those who fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years of many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Looking at Psalm 61, the end of verse 2, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I want to speak to you on this subject today, keeping your head above water, keeping your head above water. One of my favorite sitcoms that I enjoyed back during the 70s, and even from time to time, I still watch it today, the reruns, and that is Good Times. And the thing I like about Good Times is that here was a family that faced difficult situations. And it seems like they were always in a crisis. And, you know, when I think about the words of the song, and that's where I get the title of my message today, you know, it says, good times anytime you need a payment. Good times anytime you need a friend. Good times anytime you're out from under, not getting hassled, not getting hustled. Notice what it says. Keeping your head above water, making a way when you can. Temporary layoffs, good time. Easy credit rip-offs, good time. Scratching and surviving, good times. Hanging and jiving, good times. Ain't we lucky we got them, good times. What were they able to do? They were able to take life's overwhelming situations and turn them into good times. And so often, we let overwhelming circumstances take us under. But we need to, as we read the 61st Psalm today, to see that we can turn those overwhelming circumstances, all depends how we look at them, we can turn them into good times. Just think, you know, as I think back again, this was one of my favorite, you know, up there, you know, with Sanford and Son and, you know, All in the Family, you know, some of my favorites. But, you know, the thing that I like is that, you know, through all these difficulties, what happened to them as a family? They drew closer. They got stronger. And they were able, together, you know, with crazy JJ, you know, as crazy as he was, you know, that they were always able to pull together and make it through. And so this gives us hope. You know, I went back and I pulled up some of the some of the things that they said, you know, that kind of showed that they were always in a crisis mode, especially poverty. Michael said, don't know what today is. And JJ said, yeah, Blue Monday, followed by Broke Tuesday, followed by Disastrous Wednesday. And from the rest of the week, we go downhill. And then on one time, James said, you know, I'm going to leave the world when I go, Florida, a tombstone that reads, here lies James Evans, back in the hole again. And then James, on another occasion, he said, we are poor, and poor is one of the three things people don't want to be, right next to sick and dead. And then another one by JJ. Yeah, the only time we get a guest room around here is when somebody puts a sleeping bag in the bathtub. So, you know, but yet and still, you know, in spite of all that, they were able to make it through because they turned them into good times. Psalm 61 tells us how that we can turn life's difficulties into good times and how we can overcome those situations. Now, what are some things that lead us to become overwhelmed? What are some things that are the makings for being overwhelmed? And as I was studying and meditating, you know, here's some of the things that I thought about that could cause people to become overwhelmed. You know, and I tried to, you know, put it in a little expectation, obligation, relation, fixation. So we tried to get a little fluidity going there. But the first thing is expectation. You can become overwhelmed and stressed out when you want to achieve a certain thing. Now, you know, it's all right to have goals, and we need to have goals, and we need to have expectations. There's no question about that. You know, we need to be moving towards something. But sometimes people let their expectations stress them out. And when they let their expectations stress them out, then they become what? Overwhelmed. So expectations can lead to a sense of being overwhelmed. Obligation. This is the stress of saying yes to too many things. You know, I think that all of us have fallen into that trap at some point in time. You know, I know sometimes, you know, I seem like I'm involved in so many things, and then meetings start running together, and then, you know, you have one meeting that you forgot about, and it's the same time as another meeting, and then you got to begin to juggle things, and it causes you to have a sense of feeling overwhelmed. And, you know, sometimes you just sit there and say, I don't know about you, but sometimes I sit there and I say, man, how did I let myself get into this? You know, and I'm saying that out of a feeling of and a sense of being overwhelmed. We see a relation. You know, sometimes people, relations, relationships, relatives, family, friends, they can cause us to be overwhelmed, you know, because they think that you're the only person that can do something, and that if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. And so therefore, you know, they put this stress on you. And I don't know how many people as a pastor that I've talked to who have dealt with this very aspect in their life, that there's been people around them that have placed so many things on them, and then they get to the breaking point. They get to the point where they can't handle anymore, and they become overwhelmed. You know, fixation. And this is when you fix on something and you stress feeling the need to do everything perfect. Now, again, we need to strive for perfection. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But some people take that perfection to obsessive compulsiveness, right? Being perfect is fine. But when you get stressed out over it and it begins to overwhelm you, then it can lead to negative things. Something that's good, something that we should be striving for, can lead to something negative. Here goes one right here. Regulation. You know, we want to regulate everything. We have the stress of feeling the need to be in control, right? That if I'm not in control, you know, I got to be in control of it. And if something is beyond our control, what happens? We get stressed out. And it causes us to become overwhelmed. Here goes one right here I know that many people suffer from, and that is procrastination. And that is the stress of putting things off until the last minute. You know, you wait till the last minute, and now you're all stressed out because you don't know if you're going to get done. You don't know if you're going to meet deadlines. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the end result is going to be. Why? Because you have procrastinated. And, you know, you think about, you know, sometimes when you procrastinate and then you come up to the deadline for something, then you begin to think about, man, you know what? I wasted all that time watching television. Or, you know, I was talking on the phone and, you know, I should have been. And so you go back and you look at all the things that you could have, all the opportunities you had to complete this project, but you procrastinated on it. And now it's overwhelming you and it's stressing you out. And then the last one is what I call deprivation. And this is basically just life's disappointments. You know, sometimes it could be getting sick, you know, and we get overwhelmed, you know, with our sickness. Sometimes when we lose a loved one, you know, we can get stressed out and overwhelm us. You know, I know one of the things that stresses me out. I mean, you know, I can deal with a lot of things. I mean, I've had to deal with a lot of serious things in being a pastor. But one of the things that stresses me out, quicker than quick, faster than fast, are you ready for this, is when the sewage in my house starts to back up. I tell you what, man, it seems like, you know, I go in panic mode, you know, then. You know, I mean, man, I need to get somebody in here, then you got to go down there. I'm trying not to be too graphic right now. This don't happen a lot, but when it happens, you know, it's just like, man, I go in panic mode. You know, get the hose out, you know, and you got to rinse down your garage and all this stuff. And there's just a sense of, you know, being overwhelmed. And so all of us have that feeling. All of us have had that sense of, you know, just being overwhelmed. And it might be because of deprivation, you know, something that happened, you know, a loss in our life. And, you know, some people, you know, you look at some of these things right here, especially the last one, and just think about people who have committed suicide. And what is one of the things? I mean, I think one of the reasons people commit suicide is hopelessness. They lose hope. But I think another thing that causes people to commit suicide is a sense of being overwhelmed. It just seems like life is just piling in on them. It just seems like they might, you know, it might be losing control. They might have the stress of all the things that people are expecting from them. They might have made too many commitments, overcommitted. And it just seems like now they've lost management of their life. And there's a sense of that being overwhelmed. And so that's why I think Psalm 61 is so important, because it addresses that very issue right there. So as we get into Psalm 61, we want to look at a couple things this morning. The first thing is what I call a present contemplation. Well, let me go back. I see they put that up there, the background. Let me give the background to Psalm 61, you know, as we always do. The Psalm 61 in the superscription, and we know that the superscription comes before the psalm, and there's not one for every psalm, okay? There's only superscriptions for certain psalms. Now, I will say this. I do want to give this note of caution, because we have study Bibles, right? You know, we might have Scofield Study Bible. We might have Ryrie Study Bible. We might have John MacArthur Study Bible, or now David Jeremiah has a study Bible. And sometimes they go in and they'll put little headings, you know, before different passages. All right, that's not a superscription. That's a editor's note. That's where MacArthur or Swindoll or Jeremiah or somebody went in and kind of said, okay, this is a psalm of hope, or this is a psalm of joy. That's not a superscription. So we want to be careful that we don't mix the superscriptions up with an editor's, you know, note introducing a particular psalm. And so in this psalm, it says clearly, right here, it says, to the chief musician upon a weary land, a weary land. Yes, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in this time of a storm. The psalmist said, when I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He contemplated his situation, and he realized that he was in trouble. And the only thing he could say is, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So we see a present contemplation. I like this right here. Oh, I like this. We see a past association. A past association. Look at verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. The psalmist reflects back on his past. And he begins to think about all the times that he was in trouble. And he used his present contemplation to lead to a past reflection, or a reflection on a past association. He said, man, God has been walking with me all this time. And I'm going to look at all the times that he has delivered me. And see, you know, it's just like, we like this. You know, the guy, he said, man, can you loan me $50? And he said, no, I can't loan you $50. He said, man, remember that time that your mother was sick and needed an operation, and I gave you $500? He said, yeah. He said, come on, man, loan me $50. He said, I can't loan you $50. He said, man, you remember that time your car broke down and I lent you $1,000 to get your car fixed? He said, yeah. He said, come on, man, loan me $50. He said, I can't loan you $50. He said, man, you remember the time that you didn't have any groceries and I came over and gave you money to buy groceries? And the guy said, yeah, I remember that. He said, come on, man, loan me $50. He said, I can't loan you $50. He said, why not? How come you can't loan me $50? He said, well, what have you done for me lately? Come on now, right? And isn't that the way we are with God? That we start going through something, and then all of a sudden we lose heart. We lose faith. We get ready to give up. We getting ready to turn in our Christian badge. Why? Because God hasn't done anything for us lately. We need to go and we need to look back and remember what God has done for us in the past, how that we were in tight situations, how that we were in struggles, and how that we were dealing with all these things, and God brought us through. But a lot of times, Christians have a mentality of, what have you done for me lately? No, it's not what have you done for me lately. That God, you've been faithful to me. You're over all these years, Lord. And watch this. And Lord, if you don't do another thing, if you don't do another thing, God, you've already been faithful. And the psalmist looked back and noticed what the psalmist said. He said again, he said, for Lord, thou hast been a shelter. That word shelter means refuge, a hiding place, and a strong tower from the enemy. Lord, you have been a tower for me to climb up and a tower for me to hide. This means that you have protected me. As I think about, you know, just, I wanted us to really meditate on this verse and ask ourselves, what does this verse mean to me? You know, do I really think about the things that God has done for me? A past association. How has God associated with me in the past and done great and mighty things? If you'll put up that next slide. And I thought about the names of God. El Shaddai. The God who strengthens and sustains. Have you ever been spiritually faint, physically weary? Do you know who it was that brought you through? It was El Shaddai. What about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides? Did you need wisdom in a situation? Did you need a financial blessing when your funds were low? Were you in need of material provisions? You know who met that need? It was Jehovah Jireh. He came through for you in the past. He made a way out of no way. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the Lord who is our victory. Have you ever needed to be victorious over your enemy? Have your enemies ever spoken bad against you? They tried to tear you down, called you everything but a child of God, stabbed you in the back and didn't give it a second thought, and you just needed the victory. And God lifted you up, Jehovah Nissi. What about, has he been in the past, Jehovah Shalom to you? Has he been the Lord your peace? Have you ever experienced the death in your family? Oh, I'm sure we all have. Every last one of us have experienced some kind of death where we lost somebody that was close to us. And yet and still, the Lord sustained us and he took us through. Who was it that took us through? It was Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who gave us peace when we were fearful about the future, when we were dealing with times of uncertainty. Who steadied our spirit and helped us through? It was Jehovah Shalom. What about Jehovah, Yahweh, Sabbath, the Lord of armies, the one who deals with our enemies, the one who goes out and fights our battles? And we go on and we continue to see Jehovah Makkah, the Lord who sanctifies. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about Christianity. But you know what? Jehovah Makkah, he came through. And what did he do? He sanctified me, and he helped me, you know, to walk through. You know, I tell people all the time that when I first got, you know, my wife is sitting back there, and she knows that before I got saved, every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. You know, every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you know, I haven't said a cuss word since then. Thought a lot. No, just kidding. But who was it? Who was it that cleaned up my mouth? Who was it that cleaned up my tongue? It was Jehovah Makkah. I can go back and look and see how he's done that. Jehovah Roy, the Lord is my shepherd. When I travel from place to place, guidance through life situations, all type of needs. Now, I don't know about you, saints. I'm just going to be honest with you. Let's be real. Okay, I'm going to be real. Okay, I'm just going to be real. The older I get, the less I hate to drive at night. And not only drive at night, but drive in the rain at night. Woo! And so, you know, Jehovah Roy, the Lord, who is my shepherd. And there's another thing that troubles my spirit, especially at night. I don't mind it as much in the day, but at night. Man, there's so many deer out here, man. There's just so many deer. I left my house this morning. My neighbor had a garden. And I mean, I got all kind of rabbits in my neighborhood. I probably got, there's about five rabbits that just hang around my house all day long. And that's one reason I didn't plant a garden, because I said, I'm not going to feed the rabbits. But I got it figured out for next year, so I'm going to have me one next year. But in my neighbor's yard, he had a garden. And I looked down there, man, there was a big deer in his yard eating this stuff, man. I said, man, these deer are everywhere. And so when I'm driving, especially at night, man, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for deer, man, because them things jump out at the last minute. I don't know about you, but I need a God who's going to shepherd me. I need a God that's going to give me traveling mercies. I need a God that's going to guide me and direct me. And I've seen him do it time and time again. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. When you prayed for a loved one, when you prayed for a backslide, when you prayed for somebody that's been incarcerated and God worked in their life and moved in a great and mighty way. Well, who? That was Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. He's present in times of death. Jehovah Rapha, oh, I don't know about you, but we've all been sick. We've all been sick at some point in time. And who brought us through? It was Jehovah Rapha that brought us through. You say, well, I was sick and I never really, I just kind of healed up on my own. Well, who do you think that was? I look at it like this. Even if it wasn't direct healing, God put healing in the body. You know, I praise God for doctors. I thank God for doctors. But, you know, there's one thing that doctors can't do, and every doctor would tell you, they can't heal. Doctors can't, they can put things in place, they can tell you what to take, they can, you know, do a surgery and all that. But once you sit back and they've done all they can do, then you just sit back and what? Let God do his thing.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Keeping Your Head Above Water. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Keeping Your Head Above Water, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Keeping Your Head Above Water. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Keeping Your Head Above Water. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.